So how do you handle it when life happens? Well, if you don't know before you're listening to the show, you're going to know at the end. You get catalytic. Hi, I am your host. I'm still Cheryl Hirsch Kramer. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If you're listening to us live, please call in. We're doing free readings tonight. Give me about 10 minutes to set this up, and I'd be delighted to do a free mini reading for you. I am my own guest. We're going to talk about how do you love. We talk about love on this show a lot, but we don't always talk about how to do it. We have a lot of thought leaders come on talking about the power of love, and I've had some personal stories. I've had some guests with personal stories, but we're going to talk about how do you love specifically. How do you do this? How are you wired to do this? What's difficult for you in the whole idea of love? What's easy for you? And how can you understand how you love in order to form better relationships with those in your life? This is going to be a fun hour. And if you've not heard about this system of divination and intuition before, you're going to come away from the hour and saying, whoa. And I hope after you say whoa that you will consider contacting me for a reading. My website is transformingthroughlove.com. And my readings are listed on the website. What you do is you email me at love@transformingthroughlove.com. Tell me you want a reading. I'll say, yay, you. Tell you the instant way of getting in, and we can set this up. These readings are freaking unbelievable. So tonight we're talking about love. So what is this? Let's start off. What kind of a system is this? My teacher, Robert Camp, used to have a show on BBS Radio, and it was on just, I think it was called Mr. Destiny. He had that Destiny card show. I don't read like Robert, just so you know right away. We all do this differently. I took one class with Robert. I didn't get certified by him. I didn't do any of that stuff. I took one class. I thought it was great. But with all other things in my life, I find I do better figuring things out on my own. So I have his books. I had his software for a while, and I have other people's books. And the system of divination has been around for thousands of years. Some people say it goes back to China. Some say it goes back to Egypt. It's not really clear where it started. But this was a hidden system. People didn't know about this. It was kept quiet until relatively recently, and then it started coming out into the public attention, and people started looking for people to do their readings for them, and they would learn things about their lives. If you go along with the idea that we choose the day that we're born because we want to have certain experiences while we're here, then this is going to make a lot of sense to you. And if you don't believe it now, just kind of hang in there with us, you know, just listen up and see, maybe by the end of the hour, we will have shifted something. You may be one of those people who has belief systems need to shift in this lifetime. And if you are one of those people, we can do that for you, because I know people like that and we can work with them. It's not terminal. This can be helped. So there's a system of divination, which Robert Camp has called destiny cards. It's called the sacred symbols of the ages. It's called card science. It's called metasymbology. It has a lot of different names to it. I don't really care what it's called. I just care what it does. So I'm going to give you a brief intro to what this looks like before we start talking about readings for individual people. And we're going to talk about how do you love. So if you call me up for a mini reading, what you'll get is a very short overview of how you love, not your relationship. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. So if you find this interesting, please come back in 2 weeks on the 17th of May, and we'll talk about your particular relationship. What's up with this guy? What's up with this girl? Why are we together? And what are we not understanding to make this an easier connection? That's coming up in 2 weeks. But tonight we're looking at how do you love. And I wanted to start off with two samples to give you an idea of what this looks like. First sample has been in the news lately. We all know that Prince passed away 2 weeks ago. And I looked at his cards. I was really curious, and I learned some things I want to share with you. But before we look at how Prince loved, I want to share a story from my own family, and I may tear up when I tell you this story. I'm hoping I don't. I had a relative who was murdered many years ago, and it was such a brutal murder that it made the national news. I don't remember her. I was very young when she was killed. And the family didn't talk about her afterwards. The circumstances were so horrific that they kind of pretended that she was never born. All I knew was that I had an aunt that nobody was going to talk about. And all I knew was that she married later in life. I think she was in her 30s or 40s, which for somebody of that generation, that's pretty much later in life. And she didn't marry for love. She married because it was the right time for her. and she married for financial security, which many women did back then. I understand it was not a love match, and she died, and she died horribly. So I looked at her cards tonight without ever having looked at them before to see if there's anything I can look at and understand more about her path, and I learned a lot. So these are all based on playing cards, believe it or not. Playing cards are a divination system that goes back thousands of years. And if you start saying, that's nuts, hang in there with me. You're going to see a lot of wisdom here. So she chose to come in this lifetime as a five of hearts birth card, which was what did her soul want her to experience, and a five of diamonds planetary ruler, which is how did she present in the world. I'll try to keep this as much English as possible. I won't talk metaphysical or astrological or anything like that. I'll keep it as English as I can. So five of hearts, her soul wanted her to have experiences in love. Experiences. Doesn't always mean commitment. It means experiences. So she, from what I understand, was a nice person. She was quiet. She was very ladylike. She was kind. And she was apparently on a spiritual quest of some sort. She married this man because she wanted to have the experience of marriage. Not because she wanted marriage so much, but she wanted the experience of marriage. And she stayed married to him for quite a while, whatever that was, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it was. And she was motivated by finances. And that works because there are things called karma cards. And her first karma card is a four of diamonds, which points to the need for financial stability. Her father didn't have much money. There were seven kids. The father was a traveling salesman. He wasn't around very much. And they grew up without a lot of money. So it would make sense that she would want to sustain some type of security for her as she got older. So she met this guy who was well off, and she married him. He didn't love her either, by the way. So it's not like, you know, she was using him. They were basically using each other to fulfill society's expectations of what should happen at a particular age. So she married him for money. He married her to have a wife, and they had this experience together. Now, when her experience was done, fives don't usually hang around. They move on. And she wasn't able to get a divorce during that time period. Women didn't seek divorces. It just did not happen. If she had gotten to court, if she had divorced the guy, there's a Mars card. Mars is about legal matters. Mars is about relations with men. And her card for that period is a nine of hearts, which means very difficult legal battles, very difficult relations with men. Nines are also death numbers. So if she had chosen to get divorced from this guy, it would not have gone well. So what way did she have to leave him? She died. And she didn't do it herself. She had help. She was 53 years old when she died. So I looked at her cards for age 53 for her Five of Hearts birth card, and we have various cards that go through the year. We have the theme of the year. We have your big challenge of the year. We've got the result that happens when you meet your challenge. We've got the gifts the environment brings in. We've got lots of different things we can look at in the cards. And I didn't have to look very long. I looked at her long-range card, which was the theme of the year, and it was what's called the thief card, T-H-I-E-F, thief, as in robber. And that's a jack of spades. Whenever the jack of spades turns up, we always advise people, watch out. Make sure you're not going to get ripped off by somebody. And what is the greatest robbery that somebody can take? Your life. So you can look at her cards for age 53 and see, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. She had a difficult marriage. She had the experience of love that she wanted to have. And when she was done with it, she left, and it was in her cards. So if you look at it from a spiritual point of view, it's all about experiences, which is what she came here to have. It certainly puts a different spin in it than the, oh my God, this poor woman was murdered and she was young and she was in the prime of her life and all that. And, you know, that's what most people would say. And that's where you get stuck in the grieving process. When you have a horrible death in your family, as I had in mine, it's really hard to get to that place of clarity to see maybe there's a higher reason for everything. So having looked up her cards, I can now see that this is what her soul chose to do. Her soul didn't choose to stay around for a long time. Came in, got the experience it needed to have. When she was done, she went home. And it really helps me to understand that and release a lot of the feeling horrible. I still feel awful about the way that she went. But if this is what she chose to do, I have no judgment. I'm not able to say a word. So that's example number one of how these readings go. Example number two, let's look at our friend Prince. Prince was 57 years old when he died. And by the looks of it, he had a very charmed life path. He was a 10 of diamonds and an 8 of spades. 10 of diamonds is, and if you know anything about astrology, Jupiter is the planet that expands everything. So he had a 10 of diamonds, which is in the Jupiter-Jupiter position in the chart. He had a blessed life path. 10 of diamonds have one of two things happening to them. They either have a lot of money and a very successful life, or they have a very poor life and a very unsuccessful life because they're so afraid of getting this that they push it away with both hands. Prince embraced his life. He made it big when he was young, and he made it really big. And he made incredible music for a lot of years and influenced a lot of artists. And as we now know, he did a lot of charity work as well. He made good use of his time when he was with us. So let's talk about Prince and how he loved. Prince was a 10 of diamonds, and 10 is the energy of the 1 and a 0 attached to it. 1 is the first card. It's the ace of the deck. Ones are really good. Aces are really good at being alone. They've got that down. They're here to learn about themselves, and many will call them selfish. And you could also look at it as being they're just concerned about, what am I supposed to learn here? You know, I showed up here. I want to learn what it's like to be me. So he had this experience of learning how to be centered upon himself, plus this 0, which comes with the Joker, the wild card, which can be anything you want it to mean. Tens are usually performers. No matter what the suit, 10 of hearts, 10 of clubs, 10 of spades, 10 of diamonds, they're performers. They perform for audiences like Prince did, or they perform in front of a classroom, or they perform for clients. It's a performance card. They do better with groups, usually than individually. And Prince was a performer. There's no question he was a performer. Tens are also really wanting love. They really, really want it. But they're restless. And that comes from, if you take a look at their life spread, he's got this Ace of Hearts in Venus, which means he's always more able to do new relationships than sustain relationships. And if you remember reading his biography, he had a lot of girlfriends. He had a lot of two wives. You know, he did okay with the ladies. And it was easier for him to start a relationship many times than to stay with it for a long period. His first marriage lasted, I think, for 4 years, and his second marriage lasted, I think, for 5 or 6 years. So he didn't do long marriages. He had the experiences with marriage. But he would be drawn to it because his Venus was in the Ace of Hearts. So Prince wanted relationship, and his first wife was somebody he met when she was 16 years old. I don't know if you know very much about his first wife, Maite Garcia, who has an interesting life story. We'll get to her in a minute. So here's Prince's deal. Prince met her when she was 16 years old. He, I believe, was in his 30s. And he was very respectful. He first learned about her from her mother. Her mother had sent Prince a video of her performing. She was a belly dancer. And if you remember the show, That's Incredible, she was a young belly dancer. She was billed at the first, world's youngest professional belly dancer. She was 8 years old when she was on this show. She started belly dancing when she was 3. She was awesome. So the mother sent Prince a performance tape. He saw her, and he wanted her to be a part of his show. And very soon she got promoted, and she started doing the shows with him. She was kind of working along with him. And he didn't get involved with her romantically until she was of legal age. And she was very, very respectful of her. She was a virgin when they got together. She talks about that. And can you imagine your first boyfriend, your first serious boyfriend is Prince? All the money you'd ever want, access to everything, shows, premieres, great clothes, everything you'd ever want to have. And she was blown away by this. It's a very different way of starting out in the world of dating. But he was good to her. And she loved him very much, and he loved her very much. Now, this was a past life relationship. If you look at the cards for him and the cards for her, they've been together before. And it didn't end pretty that time either. It didn't end pretty this time, but it was really not pretty before. What happens when there's a past life relationship that comes back is there's some resolution that needs to happen. It's in his cards. It's also in her cards. So they get married. She was 22 years old. They had one of these beautiful wedding ceremonies. They released doves at the end. And she wore that symbol that he was known as for a while. And she was a gorgeous bride. He was very much in love with her. She was in love with him. 2 months later, she's pregnant. And she was so excited, and so was he. They really wanted to be parents. And if you know the story, the baby was born. His name was Boy Gregory. And he was born with a very rare skull defect, and he was dead in a week. So they didn't talk about this. They actually went on Oprah not long after the baby was born and died, and they pretended that he was okay. They couldn't deal with the reality of having lost their child, so they pretended that he was fine. And it didn't come out until much later that the baby had died. She got pregnant a second time and miscarried. And that put an enormous strain on their marriage. There was a lot of guilt involved with this. There was a lot of sadness. There was a lot of grieving. And that helped to tear the two of them apart. And Prince was interviewed about why the marriage ended, because they really did love each other a lot. And he said that he had to divorce her because he was starting to feel jealous and possessive. And he knew that wasn't what he wanted to feel. Now, when people are in a long-term marriage, these things kind of come up. It's part of the deal. But because he was still learning about self, because he still had that one going with the zero to make the 10, he wasn't going to do that work. He would just say, okay, let's just get out of this now. I don't want to feel jealous. I don't want to feel possessive. I want to move on. And they got divorced. And she always loved him. I believe he always loved her. She went on to date Tommy Lee for a while, and she adopted a child on her own named Gia, and she was quoted not long before his death as saying that, you know, he's no longer her love, being in love with him, but she will always love him, and she took his death very, very hard. But that's what happens. When you have this life path, it shows you, yes, as a Ten of Diamonds, he wanted relationship, but here's the other part of it. His planetary ruler, which is the way he presented in the world, was a Native Spades. Eight of Spades is a very powerful card. It's a very controlling card. People who are eights, you have to work with an eight. Eights have an issue with power. Either they're terrified of their power and they run away from taking it, or they roll over people. It's very difficult to find an eight who's found a way to balance out their power. They do exist, but they're rare, and you got to look for them. I know this because I used to live with a dog who was an eight, and she got her way most of the time. You just didn't win with her. Eights are going to win. That's just how it is. So Prince was Native Space planetary ruler. The way that he presented in his life was as a very powerful guy. And a lot of women like that. You know, we want to be with the guy who embraces the fact that he's the guy. But when he starts making demands, that's where problems start to come up. From what I understand from various interviews with ex-girlfriends of his or ex-lovers of his, he asked them to call him Messiah, which, you know, I might have a problem calling a guy I'm involved with Messiah, but that's what he demanded, and that's what they did. He also told one of his exes, and her name was Devin DeVasquez. She was a Playboy model. And he told her, according to her, that he broke up with her because he didn't want her to see how controlling he could be. Talk about an eight of spades. I mean, that's really what they do. So he had this control thing going on. Plus, he had this Ten of Diamonds. I really want love, but it's got to be my way. I can't do this as a partnership. I remember hearing a story one time that he went out with somebody, and I think it was Sheena Easton. He wouldn't talk to her the entire night. He said, let's just make eye contact the entire night, and he wanted to have a very strong energetic connection. She wanted to talk. You know, you go out on the first date, you want to get to know the guy, and he wasn't going to do that, and it really frustrated her. And she really wanted him more because he wouldn't talk with her. And that's the control thing. He wanted it his way. He wasn't willing to compromise. Well, that's not a really great relationship profile unless you work on it. People can work on their cards. They can, I think, transcend their cards or at least embrace their cards enough to say, okay, I came in here. This is what I came here to experience. But now I want to have love. So let me learn how to be an eight who's able to take my power by learning how to help other people take theirs. When you get to that place, that's an evolved eight, and that's a good relationship. So Prince had many girlfriends. Prince had many lovers. Prince had these two great loves, these two wonderful women, and he's very, very much missed. The other thing about tens is we talked about the energy of the one as part of the ten. Well, we're all learning now what a philanthropist he was, how much money he gave to various charities, and how he paid for solar panels. There's a lot of homes in Oakland, California that have heat and have electricity because Prince paid for solar panels, and they have no idea he did this. He did a lot of benefit work. He worked at, I think, one of Elton John's AIDS benefits. He did that. And he did a lot of things for various cities. I think he created some tiny house villages, from what I understand. He spent his money, and he did a lot of good, but he didn't talk about it publicly because he was a Jehovah's Witness. You're not allowed to do that. So now that he's gone, we're hearing all these wonderful things that he did while he was around. And why did he do that? Well, his first karma card, which is, this is something you give to your entire life. This is the Queen of Clubs, which we call the Mother Mary card. And basically, you're being a mother to the world. You want to make a difference through your love. It's really important that you've used your love to make a difference. And it may have been easier for him to use universal love than personal love. So that's why he was a giver. He was a spiritual teacher. He was a teacher of love. And he was helping people the way a mother would, by giving them a place to live. He also worked with, disadvantaged communities in order to fund kids to learn code so they could grow up and be computer programmers. So he helped kids make a living. He didn't just give the money. He made sure the money was going somewhere where it could do some good. So that was the Queen of Clubs. He also has, as a second karma card, the Queen of Spades. That's an energy that gives to you. Queen of Spades, she's been through it all. She has been through freaking hell. And she uses her knowledge about having survived a very difficult life to help herself and to help others. So he had a difficult childhood. You may know his story, that the father threw him out, and the parents got divorced when he was young, and you know, he didn't know where to live. He moved in with Andre Simone's family for a while, and then he got out very early and made himself a life with really nobody backing him up other than people he was living with from time to time. That's a Queen of Spades experience. So he took from his experiences, and he made himself an amazing life. He did have love. He had it from a lot of different people, but it wasn't sustained love because I think it's his own control issues and his own need to really understand who Prince was. So that's how powerful this work is. We can really understand people by looking at their cards. We can look at relationships by looking at their cards. So if you want a reading, the number is... I got to get you the number. Hold on just a second. My computer just went away for a minute there. Okay. If you want to interact with me, 888-627-6008. It's a free call, and you'll get a free mini reading. So let's talk about how some people have an easier time loving than others. And I'll use my own family as an example for that. I come from a family of diamonds. I am a jack of diamonds. My mother was a king of diamonds, and my father was an ace of diamonds. Diamonds are about values primarily, money second, but about values primarily. And I was raised with a very strong set of values. And I know if I'm involved with the wrong people, when my body goes, ugh, when I hear that they're not living up to the values that I have for me, not a judgment, it's just a discernment that says, this isn't going to work for me. So my father was an ace of diamonds. My mother was a king of diamonds. So my mother was royalty and my father was not. And that made for a very interesting marriage relationship because he was the man. And they were married during a time when women's lib was just starting when my father passed away. He died many years ago. But the men were usually the ones in charge of the relationship, except my mother was a king. Kings don't like to be second. Kings like to rule. So my dad had to figure out how to rule a king. That was not easy. Or how to coexist peacefully with a king. They did not have an easy relationship, especially because my mother was the king of diamonds. And if you look at a deck of playing cards, the king of diamonds is the one-eyed king. So my mom had this really wonderful quality of looking at life with only one eye and thinking she's seeing the whole picture. This was an issue for me growing up, let me tell you, because I was a jack who thought I was the king. So we butted heads a lot of the time, because I thought I knew more than she did. You know, kids do. But I was one of the new generation of kids who came in and wanted to bring my spiritual knowledge down and work with my family and work with all these, like the kids do these days, like the crystal kids do. And my mom wasn't having any of it because she was the king and she was in charge. So it made for a very interesting family dynamic. My dad died early, partly, I would think, because it's hard fighting with the king all the time. My mother liked to be right, and she was really good at being right. My mother, when my father died and she had to become both a mother and father to me, I think she really blossomed into being a father. I think it's what she always wanted to do. The king is a fatherly role. Jackie Onassis was the king of hearts, and she had to become both mother and father to her children. and did a magnificent job. She did a wonderful job of taking on a very difficult task and raising two kids who made a difference in the world, even though her son didn't live as long as one would have hoped. You know, her daughter's done great things. Her son did great things. She raised kids. She did a great job. So my mother was this King of Diamonds, and the kings like to judge. Diamonds are about values. My mother was very judgmental. This is good. This is bad. This is good. This is bad. We had a very difficult relationship for many years. And the way we finally made a good relationship for each other was when I was 43 years old, and she was, how old was she? She was in her 70s, or mid-70s. I called her up one day, and I said, you know, Mom, your entire life, your family has never seen you, and your family has taught me to look at you as something fragile. Well, here's the deal. They're all dead now, and you're still here. What does that tell me? You're not as fragile as they thought that you were. I need a mother. I was taught to treat you as a porcelain doll, and I don't need a porcelain doll in my life right now. I'm going through some very difficult times, and I need a mom, and I hope you'll do that for me. You haven't done that before, and I'm 43 years old talking to my mom like this, right? I said, I need you to step up. I need you to be there for me. And that's what you do with the cards that are controlling, like the kings, like the eights. You bring them into their hearts. My mother really didn't understand that I needed her to love me more than I needed her to rule me. And she told one of my friends some years later that I eventually realized I was never going to win with Cheryl, and it's better for us just to get along as friends. And that was true. That's exactly what we did. But because I said this to her, because I challenged her, I invited her to go into her heart with me, that transformed our relationship. In the last 15 years of her life, we were close. That's what you do with an eight or with a king. These are controlling cards, and you involve them with their hearts. That's what you do. I'm going to give you a real quick rundown on the various cards and what you need to know about them. You don't know your card necessarily. And if you call me up for a reading, of course, I will go into things in great detail. You'll know what your year is about. You'll know what your life is about. You'll know what your skills are. You'll know what your relationship preferences might be. Is this the right partner? Is this a bad partner? I'm not going to tell you what to do. What I'll do is just read you the energy of the cards, and you'll do whatever you want to do with that. So let's just start with the ace. The aces are the ones, and they're often called selfish, but they're actually evolving self, as we talked about before with Prince and the Ten. They really want love, and they don't always know how to go about it. They're great at starting relationship. They may not be the best at finishing relationship. If they get into a partnership with somebody, they're not always the best partners because they're thinking about number one, right? Looking out for number one. So if you get into a relationship with an ace, it better be an ace that wants to be part of the partnership. And I do know aces that want to do that. My dad really wanted to be married to my mom. He really tried hard to do this. And I have friends. I have a friend who's an ace, and she's married to a king. And they found a way to do this successfully. So it is possible, but it takes work. The ace has to realize the world doesn't revolve around them. And the ace has to understand that love is more important than being right. So then we have the twos. And the twos build upon the energy of the ace. They have this, you know, this number one energy in them, but they also decided that they want a relationship. And it may not be ultimate relationship, it's relationship. Some of them don't want a long-term relationship. They want a series of relationships, like the two of hearts. I would say about them, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Two of hearts are people who love the idea of love, but they're not really going to do the work either. You know, they just kind of, you know, get out of it for a while. Other twos can make up reasons why they're not going to do relationship, or they're going to do it their own way. I remember one time I knew this guy, and he had a two of diamonds in his a two of diamonds planetary ruler. And he liked me, but he didn't want a relationship. He'd been married and divorced a bunch of times and didn't want to do that again. But he liked me. So this is what he offered me, and he thought this was going to work for me, and it didn't. He says, I will give you land. I live out in the country. I live way out. Nobody can find where I live. I did that on purpose. I like being out by myself. I'll give you land on my property. You can build yourself a little house. I'll help you with that. And then we can live together, but not in the same house. Well, I really wanted the relationship. I wanted marriage. I wanted somebody I could be with at night. He was going to sleep in his house. I was going to sleep in my house. But because he was a two, he wanted relationship. But because he was a two of diamonds, he wanted it his way. His value system had shown him, I can't be married. It doesn't work for me. So I'll do this instead. And he was really surprised when I said no. because his value system was so strong that he thought, well, for sure, she'll take this. I'm giving her free land, and I'll be there for her as a support. Not what I wanted. So twos want relationship, but they're also terrified. They're afraid they're going to make another mistake. So either you'll see twos going from relationship to relationship to relationship, or else they will hold back until they meet somebody who's significant, and then they'll figure out reasons to be afraid of that until they say, oh, let me go do it. I have to do this. But they at least will try it more than the ones will. Usually the twos have a lot more relationship skills than the ones. They're better communicators. They've learned more about themselves, and they're more ready. Then we get to the three. And the threes, they're fun because they like variety. Doesn't necessarily mean they want an open marriage. They can have a monogamous marriage, but they've got to have something else on the side that they love. It could be a best friend. It could be an opposite sex friend. It could be a career that they adore. But they can't just love one thing. It's got to be two. I had a really good friend who was a three, and she didn't like the idea of monogamy. She liked the idea as an idea, but when it came down to monogamy, she really liked variety. It was hard for her to stay with a relationship long term because she would get bored easily. Threes like variety. Threes are really creative, and if they don't like the relationship that they're in, they will usually either find a way to make it more interesting to them, or they'll leave in search of something else. One thing about the threes get stressed out pretty easily because they have a lot of choice in their life. So if you have a three in your life, or if you're a three, it's important to understand that, you know, the stress goes with the card, and all you need to do is embrace the creativity that comes with the three and let the stress go. And you can do that, then you can have a happy life as a three. Then we get to the four, and I have a story about a four. Fours like stability. Fours like continuity. Fours like family. Fours live a very stable life, and that's cool. None of this is good or bad. It's just cool. But here's where it gets to be a problem. They can be stubborn. I had a friend who was a four, and whenever we would go out, I would meet her, and she would bring family members along with her, and she wouldn't tell me this a lot of the time. She wanted to be around her family. They made her feel safe and secure. Now, it wasn't always good for me because, as you know, if you've listened to the show, I've had a major stroke, and energy is not as plentiful as it used to be for me. Meeting a new person takes energy from me. If I'm with somebody I'm comfortable with, that's cool. I can do that. Like, I can talk to you right now on the radio. It's easy because I've been hosting radio for 8 years now. This is comfortable for me. I feel I know you even if I don't know you, so this is easy. But let's say I'm face-to-face with somebody I don't know. So I have to read their energy. I have to find out what's interesting about you. What do you like to talk about? What can I say that's going to light you up? I want to get to know you. I want to get to know who you are. And these are all things that take energy, which I don't always have. So my friend who was before would bring her family along, different family members with her, and it would take energy that I don't really have in excess, and it would deplete me for the rest of the day. And I can't explain this to her because she's wired to want to be with her family, and she's not really going to look at any other way of doing it. So if I love her, which I do, the best thing I can do is walk away from the friendship because I need to know if people are coming. I can't be surprised. It doesn't work for me to be surprised because I put too much energy into getting to know people. And it's one of the times when you got to love each other enough just to walk away, and that's what I've done. So if you got a four, it's not that they're not adventurous. They are. It's not that they're not creative. They are. They're building upon the three. But they also want stability. They want that nice, predictable environment where they can make their magic. And fours are good people. If you want to get married, you can't do better than a four of hearts. These are people who really want to have a marriage. So, you know, you just have to make sure you got a four that you can deal with. Then we got our fives. And fives, like my aunt, the relative who was killed, my aunt was a five. Fives are all about the experiences in life. Fives don't always do commitment really, really well. They like the idea of being alone. It's easy for them. Or if they do have a relationship, they're comfortable living in two separate places. Or if they do have a relationship, they look at it as an experience, not as a long-term thing. So they go into it not necessarily thinking it's going to last. If you're involved with a five, or if you're a five yourself, not a bad thing to have the conversation early on. What are you looking for? Because if you're not a five and you want stability and you're dating a five who wants experiences, you're going to get your heart broken. So if you happen to know that that's what you're involved with, have the conversation sooner rather than later. It's a good thing to do. The fives are exciting people. They want to travel. They want to do new things. And they don't judge. They just throw themselves into their lives. And they have a great time. I have a friend who's a five. And she's a five. I have two friends who have the same birthday, and they're both five of clubs. They're very similar people. They don't know each other. They live in different parts of the country. They both have a very adventurous life. One of them skis, and she skis the Black Diamond slopes. And if you know anything about skiing, that's big-time skiing, and she has the best time. And the other one has done a lot of traveling throughout the world. It's made her really, really happy. So fives like experiences. Fives like adventure. They're not boring to be around. You won't be bored with a five usually. But just make sure that what you want and what the five wants, you're on the same page. Then you got the six. And sixes are about balance. One of my cards is a six, so I understand the six. We're kind of boring in a lot of ways. We get into our rut, and we fall in, you know, we redecorate the rut every couple of years. We get new curtains. You know, we maybe put down a new carpet, but, you know, it's still our rut. We like things to be the same. In my life, I've had so much tumult and so much upheaval that I like things to be the same. That really works for me. Not that I don't like travel, not that I don't like adventure, but I like some stability. So the rut works for me. And people who are sixes like life in balance. So not too much drama, not too much stability, just somewhere in the middle that you can live with it. Sixes are also about karma. So their lifetimes are many times about what they've done in the past. So let's say you're a six of hearts. You can have great love karma that you get these great partners by just opening your eyes first thing in the morning and saying, hello, day. Or you can look your whole life wanting to find the perfect partner because you know she or he is out there somewhere, just don't know where that is. It could go either way. Depends on your past life karma. But sixes are stubborn. Trust me on this. I'm a six. I know about this. Sixes are stubborn. And we're not intractable, but we have to understand why we need to make a change in the way that we're thinking. And then we'll do it. If it suits us, if it serves our purpose, we'll be happy to do it. Sixes also need a purpose, and mine is a spiritual teacher. I have the Six of Clubs as the planetary ruler. That's the light worker card. I'm a spiritual teacher, and it's what I want to do. That's one of my greatest joys is doing what I'm doing right now with you on the radio. But that's my purpose. People who are sixes who don't have a purpose, I feel sorry for them. It's a hard way to go through life. So then we get to the sevens. And the sevens are really interesting people to be around because they have one foot in the spiritual world and one foot in the physical world. That makes them really great at manifesting as long as they keep both feet where they're supposed to be. Sevens have a lot of fear usually. And let's say you meet a seven. So you want to have a relationship with a seven. And the seven falls madly in love with you and knows you're the right person. And then they're so smart. They think of all these reasons why this can't possibly work. And they'll you know, the seven of clubs especially, they'll list lots of reasons. You know, I've read books about this. You know, I had a girlfriend when I was 12 years old. Didn't work out with her, so it's not going to work out with you. It's pretty interesting listening to the sevens come up with their fears. Especially seven of clubs is very creative with their fears because their planetary ruler is a jack of clubs, which is a creative energy. And jacks are also, and I'm a jack, so I know this, jacks aren't always the best at telling the truth. I lie to myself. I don't lie to other people. But a lot of times jacks will lie to other people. So you'll get this seven who really wants this relationship, but they're wired to lie, and they're wired to give really great lies. So you think that they're telling the truth. It makes it challenging. I know people who won't date a jack of clubs for that reason, and I understand that. I've been with a few of them, and yeah, pretty much. But the sevens have a foot in the spiritual world and a foot in the physical world, and they can create. They really can. They just have to understand that they have the magic that goes with faith. If they choose to walk into faith, their life lesson is fear or faith. And if they walk in faith, amazing things can open up for them in all areas of life. So if you have one of those in your life, they're going to have negative times. They're going to have positive times. They're not bipolar. They're just sevens, just so you know that, okay? Then we go into the eights of the world. And the eights have the power thing we talked about before. Remember, Prince had the new power revolution, so that was his use of the power thing. Eights are interesting to be around. Eights are very strong. The men and the women, they're both very strong. And for people who don't have, they don't think that they're strong enough, they get drawn to these eights, and these eights are really strong people, and they're very definite about what they want. Whether it's right or wrong, they're very definite about what it is that they want. And they've got that spiritual connection as well. You know, they've got that one foot in the spiritual world thing as well. But here's the thing. They've come here to learn about the use of their power. And until they understand that power is best shared, not monopolized, they're going to roll over people. I had a friend who was an 8, and she was in a marriage with, I think he was a 5, and she was an 8, and she wanted things her way, and she made a lot of life choices based upon what she wanted, not what he wanted. And he went along with it because he really loved her a lot. And they separated for a while, they got divorced, and they eventually got back together again. Partly because her heart was smashed from somebody else. When 8s are smashed, when they go through an emotional smashing, they can then lose the urge to control, and they can then go into, oh, here's somebody who really cares about me. This is wonderful. I really want this after all. But usually they have to go through an experience of being smashed in order to get to that place. So after an 8 has been smashed, they become a lot more human, and they become a lot easier to be around. They're not quite as difficult. I knew an 8 one time, and he'd been through hell. His mother had been quite ill for a number of years, and he was her caregiver. And he was very powerful in business. But then after she passed away, he was exhausted from being a caregiver. And I got to know him not too long after the mother had passed. And as he recovered more and more, he got that power back more and more. So that smashed part went away, and he became back to being the dominant 8. And that wasn't going to work. I want somebody who's going to be a partner with me, not somebody who's going to tell me what to do. So when 8s get smashed, as long as their hearts are open, they can be amazing partners. But they've got to have their heart open to do that. Don't rule out an 8. Just make sure that they're open. Then you got your 9s. 9s are really interesting as well. 9s are very connected spiritually. They're very intuitive. Even if they don't work in an intuitive line of work, they are very intuitive. And they know a lot of stuff. They really do. And they know that they know a lot of stuff. Now, they know so much that sometimes they think that they know everything, and that's where the problems in life come out. 9s can be very codependent. They have difficult relationships that they don't know how to break free of, and they made up interesting stories about why they're still there. I've known a lot of 9s, and they're in abusive relationships, and one of them actually said, if I'm going to learn to be Christ-like, I need to be in this relationship to learn how it is to be treated poorly. So he justified being abused by his wife. I thought that was an interesting way of using the 9 energy. There's also 9s who take their belief systems and make them more important than love. You know, and I had that happen to me. I was, you know my story about my stroke. I was on the phone with somebody who was a 9. And I had warned him up front. I had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. I'm recovering. I'm pretty fragile. So if you're going to call me up, I need you to promise me that you'll treat me with kindness, gentleness, with love. It takes 4 to 6 weeks before the stress hormones calm down. What I had was a heart attack without lasting damage. It's called stress cardiomyopathy. And I was very weak. I was in bed. I wasn't able to drive. I was very tired. And he wanted to talk to me. And as I was dying, I thought I was dying when I had the heart attack, his dead grandmother came through to me. I haven't talked about this publicly before. His dead grandmother came through to me and gave me a message to give to him. She told me I wasn't dying, which I didn't die. And she wanted me to give him a message, and I knew I had to do that. So when he wanted to talk to me, I sent him an email saying, I need you to promise me you'll treat me with kindness, gentleness, with love. And he called me up, and he was angry. He didn't want to be told what to do because his belief system, being a 9, was very strong. And his belief system is, you can't be that weak. I don't believe that. That's impossible. Well, I was that weak, and I stroked out while I was on the phone with him. And his life lesson in that case was to learn that he had a belief system about strength that wasn't accurate. He'd been an abused kid. And because he'd been an abused kid, he learned how to suck it up and take a lot of pain that most people can't take. So he learned not to feel his pain. And because he didn't feel his pain, he was surprised I was feeling mine. And that's why my stroke happened. I'm not in touch with him anymore. I hope that he's finally released the belief system that was holding him back from really being with somebody. Because belief systems are not love. Belief systems are belief systems. So 9s have to learn how to get rid of things. Either belief systems that don't work anymore, relationships that don't work anymore, money or possessions that don't work anymore, a way of living that doesn't work anymore, a job that doesn't work anymore. 9s are all about giving up things in order to progress spiritually. The problem with 9s is they don't want to give them up. They want to stay with them. And as I say, a nine will give something up and they will leave scratch marks all over it before they release it. That's really what it is. So a nine can be a wonderful relationship partner as long as they understand that you're going to have a different way of going through life. And are you going through this relationship knowing that the other person is your equal and deserves your respect? If you've got that going on, then you can have a wonderful relationship with a nine. And I know many nines who have terrific relationships. They make the best counselors and teachers, and they're great mothers, and they're great guardians. And nines can be wonderful, loving energies for many reasons. So don't be afraid of a nine. Just make sure that they're willing to treat you with all the love and respect that you deserve, and they'll accept you as you are. Then we get into the 10, which you talked about with Prince. The 10 is the one with the zero on the end of it. So these are people who really want love. And many times it's easier to be with groups of people than to be with individuals. So they choose not to be in individual relationships for long periods of time. But they can do it. If they really find the right person, they can do it. I've seen it happen. But they have to be ready. They've got to be ready to open their hearts and be willing to learn what it's like not to only think about themselves all the time. When they can get to that point, they can make a wonderful, wonderful partner. Okay. Then we get into the royalty, the jacks, the queens and the kings, and I am royalty, I'm a jack. So I know the jacks really well. And I'm going to say something, and I'm going to hope that you understand what I'm saying. Royalty is not better than anybody else. We're different than other people. We know that we're different. Doesn't mean we're better. Doesn't mean we've got something others don't have. We just know that we're here on a purpose. And the people in our life have to understand that. And I am a jack who thinks that I'm the king. Many times people hang out with me. I'm a lot of fun. I'm very funny in real life. I like to joke around. I like to have fun. It's one of the best things in my life is to have fun. But if you violate my belief system, because I'm a jack of diamonds, I'm about values. And if you violate my value system, if you disregard my value system, you'll see a different me all of a sudden. I will become the king and you won't have any warning about it. And people are surprised because I think I'm this really fun, loving person and this really youthful person and, you know, let's just play and have a great time. And all of a sudden, here come the claws. It's not that I want to be that person. It's just my values are important to me and I'm going to stand up for my values. Jacks can lie. That's one thing about jacks. And it's not that they necessarily even know that they're lying. Some jacks think that they're telling the truth. They don't even understand that they're lying. They just say whatever comes out of their mouth. Some jacks like me, I don't lie to other people. I don't want to disrespect other people by lying. I'm probably too honest, but I lie to myself, you know, and I'm learning how not to do that anymore. One of my life lessons. But if you get to meet a jack, and let's say a jack falls madly in love with you, whatever, jacks will oftentimes say and do whatever it takes to get the person. And once they got the person, then they're out of there. So understand that the jack doesn't necessarily know that they're lying, but the jack is somebody who's not always going to be the most mature, okay? So just make sure that when you're with this person, are they meeting what you need in a relationship? You know, don't go on their potential. Go on what you're seeing, because we never know where people are going to go. How many people do you know who fall in love with somebody's potential? Yeah. So you want to look at what you've got and say, is this workable? And wait a while with the jack to see what you really have. You know, don't rush into anything with the jack. Even if it's a jack planetary ruler, you know, give them months before you know what's going on with them. And then you'll get to see, is this something I can work with? Is this somebody who's honest? I have found a lot of jacks who didn't reveal themselves to me for years, and I didn't know it at the time. So I'm saying give it a time before you walk into something long-term with a jack. But jacks can be great partners. When they find the right person, they can be devoted. Got to make sure it's the right time and the right person. Then you got the queens. The queens are mothers. Even if it's a man, queens are still mothers. You got the mother of love. You got the mother of values. You got the mother of thought. You got the mother of life. And queens are great. Queens make you feel so cared about. They'll do anything they can. You know, Prince, again, had the two queen karma cards. He had the queen of clubs, the Mother Mary card, which was he wanted to give love to the world. He wanted to teach the world how to love. He wanted to love the world into awakening. And he certainly did that as a part of his process. So he had that queen of clubs thing going on beautifully. Also the Queen of Spades, which was he went through a very tough life and used what he learned in order to help other people. That's definitely a queen energy as well. Men can be queens. And usually when a man is a queen, they're great parents, really great parents, unbelievably loving, caring, considerate parents. But queens can also, again, they rule. So they sometimes are impatient or intolerant, and they like their own way a lot of the time. So what you want to do is find a queen who's willing to work with you. He's willing to let you run at times. You can run at times, they can run at times, but a queen that wants to work with you, that's a good queen to have. And I really love the queens, and they're very easy for me to be around. You know, they really care about making a difference in the world. They know they've got a higher mission for being here, just like the Jacks do, just like the Kings do, and they want to fulfill it as best as they can. If I had a favorite card, it would probably be a queen. They're fun. And then we have the Kings. The Kings rule, and there are some Kings that rule more than others. The King of Spades is a difficult King. That's the most powerful card in the deck. King of Spades will roll over you easily until they figure out that it's not going to get them what they want. I had a friend who had divorced the King of Spades because he was controlling. That's what King of Spades do until they wake up. And he didn't allow her to be divorced from him. She was dating somebody else, and he came over and demanded sex whenever he wanted it. And she did it because she was afraid of him. And the other part of this was sex was pretty good. So because she was a Jack, she was able to lie about this. It's interesting seeing how the cards play together, isn't it? But Kings can be good in relationships, but you've got to approach their hearts. That's how you do it. You make a plea to their hearts. You ask them to go into their hearts with you. You come from your own heart is the best way to do it. The more you come from your heart, the more you will soften the defenses of the King. The more you will soften the defenses of the Queen. The more you will soften the defenses of the Jack. We really want to do this. We really want to have love in our lives. But we have to know that we're going to be respected. We're going to be cherished. So when you come from hearts, you can get along with any King, any Queen, any Jack, anybody in the deck. So are these impossible connections? No, not at all. None of these connections are impossible. Do I live my life every day by the cards? No. I look at them as a guide. But I go out and I live my life. And if I'm not supposed to be with somebody because the cards are wrong, if it's a connection, it's a good connection, I'll try it anyhow, because I've learned that people can have the best possible connections in the cards and not have great relationships. And they can have horrible connections in the cards, and they can be madly in love with each other. But the reason that the cards are useful is because they can see what their patterns are in relationship, and then they can make the adjustments that they need. That's when this gets to be a lot of fun. So I've talked for 52 minutes. Wow, I've talked a lot tonight. I hope that this has been interesting for you. My website is transformingthroughlove.com. If you want a reading with me to see how do you love, what's your relationship all about, what kind of work should you be doing, is this a year for you to be moving, what are your best skills, what are your best hobbies, who's in your life and why are they there, is this past life stuff that needs to be cleared up, is this something you can build something with? You know, I can look at all those things and more. I'll be happy to work with you. I love helping people take their power. So my website is transformingthroughlove.com. I am Cheryl, as always, and we're going to talk in 2 weeks about how do we love. I'm going to look at the energy of relationships. We talked a little bit about Prince and his first wife tonight. We're going to talk about your relationships. I hope that you'll call in, and we can look at why are you with this person? Why is this person with me? Or why do I even want this relationship? Or why did I pick this person as my parent? We fight all the time. We can look at all these different things. I can tell you, you know, when you understand that from the perspective of the cards, even those difficult relationships somehow become more workable. It's really a lot more fun to be able to do this. So please join me in 2 weeks to do that and call in 2 weeks. Tell your friends. If you like what we're doing here in Catalytic, please tell your friends. I want to build an audience. I want to be here for you. And just to give you an idea of what's coming up on May the 17th, How Do We Love? And on May the 31st, our good friend Dean Schrock is coming back. And we are going to talk about a subject that's near and dear to my heart. How can we support people who've had brain injuries? Happened to me. My mom had a traumatic brain injury. I've had a stroke. I spent a lot of time trying to educate people. And Dean has done a lot of work as a psychologist with stroke patients and with brain injured patients. He's going to help us all understand what is it like to be in this position and how can we best support them. So Dean is coming up on May the 31st. So now you know what May is all about. So before we sign off tonight, I wish you a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful rest of the day. And I look forward to seeing you on social media. Please like my Facebook page. a Twitter account, LinkedIn, all that. I want to connect with you. I am there for you. Thank you for being there for me. I am Cheryl Hirsch Kramer, wishing you a wonderful, wonderful evening. Take care, all.